Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Living Astrology with Janet Hickox. Grab your cup of coffee or your tea. Got my handy dandy Gemini cup here, and sit back and let's chat about what is happening up in the sky above. And of course, the sky is very busy, as in we are in the lead up to the summer solstice. We have Mars in a sextile to Pluto today. We also have the, wow, there is a lag there. That's crazy. There we go. We also have the solar eclipse that we're preparing for. Good morning, Amy. I'm just realizing that I've made some changes. I shouldn't make changes in a Mercury retrograde. But anyway, it looks like everything's working. So I'm just going to have to hope and pray this doesn't change anything. Pause for one moment, everybody. I apologize because I have added a new tool to my YouTube channel called TubeBuddy. And I realized this morning that when I clear my cookies, everything is different. And oops, you selected the wrong channel. No. Oh my gosh. Well. At this point, I don't care. I'm just going to leave it. So good morning, Amy. Good morning, JLo and Phantom Chroma. It's great to see you ladies out there already starting in with us. That's the right channel. So I don't know what they're talking about. Anyway, no big deal. So let's see what we can do about what's going on today. So this morning, right as I was waking up, the moon was moving into the void. So this will be a day, of course, where in the void, the moon is a bit wandering, right? She's not really moving forward to connect with anything. She is moving forward, but there's just nothing to connect to. So we may feel like we're not getting much done. We may feel like we're sort of spinning our wheels. And that means it's not a great time this morning to start anything new or to, you know, make any big moves, because likely you would have to redo it. Or in some ways, it just wouldn't go anywhere. They wouldn't really pick up any traction. So the moon is in void until 2 p.m. this afternoon, my time. So West Coast time, that would be 5 o'clock for those of you on the East Coast, when the moon will move into the sign of Gemini, changing up the energy from that more stoic, stubborn, solid, sensual Taurus into the more mind-centric and scattered Gemini energy. Yay. So Gemini cup, moon in Gemini, sun at the very end of its transit through Gemini, Venus still retrograde in Gemini until next week. So we still have a lot of focus in the sign of the twins, and that focus getting ready to shift over into the sign of Cancer, both by the moon and the new moon, the summer solstice, and the solar eclipse. So we can see sometimes planets trickle into a new sign, and you know, you don't have any big hallelujah, we're in a new sign. And then other times, like now, we have like chunky movement where it seems like a lot of things suddenly shift out of one sign and into the other, such is the case for this, the rest of this week and on into the weekend as we set ourselves up for the new moon, solar eclipse, and the summer solstice at 0 degrees of Cancer. And it'll be an interesting weekend, I dare say. Now, of course, especially with eclipses, we're often sensing, intuiting maybe, what is new and or what is changing or what is coming into completion before it actually happens. So as we saw with the full moon lunar eclipse a couple of weeks ago, the explosions that were happening, the big things that were changing, the game-changing energy really began before the eclipse. And that happens also with the solar eclipse, that we get an inkling of something that's changing or something that's moving us in a specific direction. And you might tap into that now, so you get an idea of where is life moving me? Where am I being pulled to make some changes? And if you connect with that consciously, then it goes so much easier than if you're kicking and screaming and go, no, don't take me there, which is human nature, of course. course, but not necessarily the energy that we have to have in order to move forward. It's always much better if we just move forward consciously with openness and I wonder what the universe is going to bring me next kind of an attitude. So today we're closing out then, at least up until 2 o'clock this afternoon, the transit of the moon through Taurus. And that means that that actually began at 5:02 this morning, my time. So that would have been about 8 o'clock for those of you on the East Coast. And that means that the transits of the day have pretty much happened already. So we're kind of left hanging with this trine to Pluto and Jupiter, which was the last aspect the moon was making before she went into the void. So it's actually not a very bad day for us to contemplate, tune into, tap into what kind of changes we may want to be making. So this isn't the day to make those changes. So hold that. But it is a day to really contemplate, where am I going? What do I want to do? I had, we'll see how the Pleiadian Earth energy also backs this up today, which I always love. I love seeing the coherence in these systems as we weave through them. And one of the things that you're going to likely see is that there's some powerful things that are happening, like sifting things from underneath. So the underside, Pluto, the Pluto side, the underworld side, where, you know, some things maybe are slipping through the cracks or slipping through the mesh to leave, right? To leave. But at the same time, what's left? You know how you often see geologists, or what are they called? Paleontologists, when they're searching for dinosaurs and things, they have these square like boxes that have mesh on the bottom, and they pour some dirt into that and then they shake it. It's like a sifter, and it's sifting out what's not needed, the sand, the dirt, and what's left is the bone fragments or the pottery fragments or whatever it is that they were actually looking for, what was too big to fall through. That's how I feel like where we are at this moment. We might be, you know, kind of being shaken up. And, you know, as the sifting process is happening, and what's happening is what's no longer needed, what's not working, what's no longer necessary, what doesn't support you, what doesn't feed you is falling through, while what's left is what is important. What is left is what we really need to move forward with. It is the jewel that we were looking for in the pile of sand that we threw into the sifter. So that's a great metaphor, I think, for us in this moment, in this time before the new moon, as we're contemplating what direction we may go in, what is the new moon bringing to us, etc. It's also appropriate, I think, the earth analogy of that, right? Soil or, you know, dirt, sand, appropriate to the final contemplation of the moon's transit through Taurus today. And because we've already had the actual exact transit happen, now we're sort of left over time until, like I said, 2 o'clock this afternoon, 5 o'clock this afternoon, with that kind of ability to sift through what we really want to leave with, what do we want to go forward with. Then after 2 o'clock, my time, five, your time, if you're on the East Coast, the moon will move into Gemini, changing up the energy, but also coming right into a trine with the planet Saturn that is now sitting at 0 degrees of Aquarius, or darn close to it. Let me look at my little handy dandy chart here. Today, Saturn is sitting at 0 degrees. Holy God, I cannot see that. Yesterday I was out hiking around and my eyes got all inflamed from whatever it was that was out there. And today they're still watery feeling. So it makes it hard to see. 0 degrees, 49 minutes. So it's like bullet burn into the 0 degree mark. But what we have at 0 degrees is always a karmic or an anaretic degree. So Saturn is preparing us for something. And then he's in retrograde. So I guess we kind of got that on March 23rd, that week that it was March 23rd to April 23rd, where I told you guys to kind of watch what was going on in the world, what was going on around you, what was going on in your personal life, because there were echoes of that. Well, now we have an echo of that as Saturn in retrograde is now coming back to that 0 degrees of Aquarius, where, if you'll remember, he is going to conjunct Jupiter on the winter solstice. So we're exactly halfway to that point, right? If summer solstice, exactly opposite of that would be the winter solstice. So again, we have this feeling of what is it that we want to take with us? What is no longer working? And we have to be able to let go. It will be a trine, and a trine is an ease and a flow. And it doesn't mean that it's easy. It doesn't necessarily come easy. It just comes with maybe more openness. Saturn, remember, is discipline, responsibility, boundaries, limits, the step-by-step progression of movement toward a goal or toward the ending of something or toward accomplishing something. And so we're going to have the moon right now trining Saturn, but I'll just give you a little heads up. In the new moon solar eclipse, the moon and the sun will be in conjunct with Saturn. And that means we are probably going to still have to do some changing, some sacrificing maybe, or some adapting to new circumstances, to a new world. I want to share something with you because I am a Cancer rising. I'm always very emotional. Yesterday, I left here after the morning broadcast because, as you know, I was going out with my daughters and my granddaughter. We were just heading out for the day. And I was driving down the main street of one of the towns here, Burlington. And it's a weekday, right? It's a weekday. It was Wednesday. But the streets were basically deserted. None of the smaller shops were really open, or if they were open, no one knew they were open. And the lone person on the street was standing outside of a mini market, and she had a black mask on. And I mean, I just about broke into tears. Such was the force of that feeling that the world has changed. And my one part of myself, my one Gemini twin going, no, I don't like that. I want the world hustling and bustling around me and you know, back to the way things were. But on the other hand, the other Gemini twin likes change and is adaptable and is malleable and does work with changing circumstances, with flexibility and versatility. So I think it kind of made me go, it just made me go, what is going on here in our world that we have such a strange change that has happened? While you can look around and you can still see some things are the same, the feeling of the world is completely different. And I think that's what I was tapping into, that feeling. And on one hand, it made me feel sad and melancholic, Saturn. And on the other hand, it was also hopeful in the ability maybe for the world to change. And even though we're in this part right now where it doesn't feel so comfortable, it doesn't look so pretty, it might be leading us to something much more pretty, much more positive, etc. So don't be surprised if in these days leading up to the full or the new moon lunar solar eclipse, good God, that you have those moments where you're down in that melancholic space where it looks almost dreadful out there or depressing or not happy. And then what the next minute, maybe hope being restored and optimism being restored as now Saturn is moving backward toward Jupiter. And they're coming together in a way that is with Pluto changing everything, right? The whole dynamic of the planet. So let me see how you guys are feeling about this. Let's go over here to, where am I going? I'm going to YouTube. There we go. So good morning, Amanda. Good morning, Debbie Tibbetts Tumiel. Thank you very much. And Sue, good morning. I am getting such a push to clean out closets and drawers. Must be Mercury retrograde. Go with the flow of that. I think that's awesome. Joshua Nichols, good morning to you. J-Lo says, I fell asleep after 3:30 a.m. and woke up at 8:45. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Monique Alexander, good morning. Augustina GM, good morning, everyone. Phantom Chroma, yesterday and today, just totally out of spoons. Spoon theory, anyone else? J-Lo, yes, I've been feeling the void around also the Gemini Ascendant. Could it be the node changes that allow us to feel it differently? Yes. Indeed, definitely. The nodes changed, you know, they're still sitting at the karmic degree 29, it is very interesting to note that, you know, they're at 29 degrees tomorrow. The sun is at 29 degrees today, tomorrow. Oops, the sun is at that degree. So, I mean, it almost epitomizes to me the changes that are going on as we move forward into this new, you know, territory that we haven't really been in almost 20 years, 18 to 20 years. So definitely different. And, you know, also there's that, at least I recognize that the last time that the nodes were in this sign was 9/11. And remember how that shook the world, you know, and shook up our life, and how different things have been since 9/11 and how they were before. And I think that's the same feeling maybe that I'm tapping into, and maybe you guys are too, is that how everything has changed or will change. There's almost that sense that we know things are never going to be the same. And it's just crazy, but we're living through it. It's like we came here at this moment to be here. So we must embrace it as we are here. If we had chosen to be born at a different time, in a different timeline, or to leave the planet before all of this, or to not come until after all of this is over, we chose this, right? That's the thing that I keep thinking to myself, is we chose this time period to be here for a reason. So if that was the case on a soul level, I must know something more than what I know on an ego level. My ego is bruised and battered and, you know, disgusted with things the way they're going. And yet my soul knows something different. It knows the purpose for my being here right now and for you being here right now. I may not always see it clearly or know it, but it's happening. It's there. We're here. And so I celebrate that. I really do celebrate that I'm alive, that I'm here able to speak to some of these things. It's a part of who I am and why I came here. So whatever's going on with you is also a part of why you're here and why you came here at this moment in time, to be here at this moment in time. Okay, so Amanda J. Spoons depleting rapidly this week. Things have gone into hyperdrive. Yeah, indeed. Joshua says everything is retrograde, sluggish energy, plus the moon void, of course. It does. It slows down everything, doesn't it, Joshua? But it also internalizes a lot. And I think that's where we might be uncomfortable, because we're so used to the outer world being the mirror of our world, of our reality. But now it's more inward. And it's what's going on inside that has more meaning. And this is a great time then. Next week, we add another retrograde. Neptune will turn retrograde. I love it when Neptune is retrograde, because it's like our intuition is spot on and so quick. And we need that to get through these next few months before Mars goes retrograde, let me tell you. So Amanda says, my nodes are at 29 degrees as our mind, but 29 of Leo. But still, anything that you have, any planet, by the way, in your own natal chart, if you have it sitting at 0 degrees or 29 degrees, even 28 or 20 one of the next sign, you're likely feeling some kind of tug and pull, or some kind of upset, or some kind of change in the air, because those degrees are being hit in your own chart. So it doesn't matter what the planet is. It matters what the relationship of that planet is to the ones that are now at 29 and zero. And what does that mean for you personally? So good morning, Terry. I could hear you out there. Anyway, all right. So let's go back and look a little bit closer at what is going on today. So as I said, the moon is moving into Gemini, not until later this afternoon or this evening, early evening for you all in the East Coast and in Europe. And what does Gemini represent for us in our charts? Well, first of all, it is a mental sign. It is a sign of mental flexibility, where we have logic and fast or quick thinking, making quick connections with the mind, quickly analyzing something and jumping maybe even to a conclusion of what the meaning of it is. So we want to know that we are moving from the more sensual aspects of the moon in Taurus yesterday to the more mind-oriented pressures, etc., of the moon now moving into Gemini. And remember when I showed you the human design chart yesterday, where the ajna and the head center, the two top centers of the human design body graph, are defined. We're under that mental pressure, that mental stress already. Now you add the moon in a sign that, you know, is jumping from one thought to the next, monkey mind. And we can see that it's a possibility. We may find ourselves in worry mode. We may find ourselves anxious. We may find ourselves in sort of a scattered thinking where we can't even see clearly. And then you add Gemini's ruling planet Mercury freshly in retrograde, and we may feel like we're sort of a little bit out of our minds. A little, maybe we need to feel more like we're out of our minds so we can get more out of our minds so that we can be more in our hearts. That would be a really good thing. Gemini is also a sign of motion. So we have a lot of movement, maybe driving, taking short trips, where we're just on the move. And one way maybe to get out of your head, to get some of that, you know, to quell some of that mental chatter, is to maybe get your body into movement. Go swimming, go dancing, go walking, take a drive to someplace you've not been in a while. You know, do things that maybe change up the atmosphere a bit, doing something different. Of course, Gemini moon, very sociable. It was funny in the car yesterday on the way home, my two daughters are sitting, one's driving, one's in the back seat, my granddaughter's sitting next to her. And she says, you know, I'm really shy and sort of socially awkward. She's a Sagittarian. And so her birthday is exactly opposite of mine. And so I'm looking at her and thinking to myself, yeah, I can sort of see that, but not really. And then I tell them that I feel the same way, that I'm shy. And they both look at me, roll their eyes and go, that is not true, Mom. Look at the conversations you just struck up on the walkway with, you know, a couple that had a cute dog and these little kids that were playing. And I started laughing and I said, yeah, but there's no skin in the game there, right? There's no personal, it's superficial connection, right? It's social connection, not necessarily where, you know, there's any real sharing going on. It's like, oh, what a cute dog. And these people, it was their anniversary yesterday and they were elderly. They reminded me of my sister and my brother-in-law that also celebrated an anniversary yesterday. And so there was just, you know, for me, it was an easy connection. Gemini energy is that easy connection, but not necessarily the deeper connection. And so where I get kind of awkward feeling is when I'm in a group situation and there is more depth going on in that group. Then I suddenly button up, get shy, back, you know, back off a bit and listen, right? So Gemini plays that dual role with the moon here, where on one hand, there's the social aspect. And on the other hand, the need to be the listener. So the twins, right? Both sides, the speaker and the listener. So we have the social aspect today of the internet. You know, it's a little bit impersonal, even though you may be writing personal somethings or another, it's, you know, not face-to-face. There's media. So there, all the social medias, the Instagrams, the Twitters, the you-know-whats everywhere around, gossip, another moon in Gemini type of thing that gets triggered. So watch what you're saying and maybe not sharing any personal information with other people that can get, you know, sort of passed on. Relationships with Gemini moon is more along sort of the let's call it the 3 degrees of separation. Instead of the 6 degrees of separation, we're going the 3 degrees of separation, where Gemini rules things like sibling connections, sisters, brothers, colleagues. So the people that you work closely with, your extended family, nieces, cousins, and second cousins as you go out further. That extended family also includes those people that you include as family that may not necessarily be blood relatives, but are so close to you that you consider them family. So that is extended family as well. Roommates, right? Sometimes your roommates become your friends for life, or your college schoolmates become, you know, friends for life. Those are also part of the type of relationships that Gemini rules. Now, what do we need to watch out for? You know, the usual things, mental fatigue with Gemini energy, rationalizing emotions. So when you are, what I mean by that is, Gemini being a mental sign, it's working with the mind, but when the emotions come into play, they try to rationalize why they're feeling like that. You just heard me do that when I was telling you the story of me driving down the street, and I'm noticing empty shops, and I'm noticing not a lot of people congregating out there. One lone person with a mask on, that is me going, oh, okay, trying to attach a meaning to the emotion I was feeling. So we need to watch for that. Being superficial and not taking things as seriously as they may need to be. Scattered thinking and losing focus, right? You get into dabbler sort of mentality and you're trying to shuffle around and juggle too many things. And, you know, one orange falls and next thing you know, everything falls. So being careful about that, because that kind of scattered thinking can lead to worrying and to nervousness, which can lead to anxiety and anxiousness and lack of sleep and all of that type of thing. So today we're really, I guess, and for the next day or so, we're watching our mind, we're watching our thoughts, we're paying attention to what we're focusing our thoughts on. And that becomes important when we take a look at the Pleiadian Earth energy. Let me go back quickly over here to YouTube and take a look and see. Amanda says, good morning, Kamal. Amanda says, if you have Mercury retrograde in your natal, do the Mercury retrogrades affect you differently? You know, I've read two different articles on that. To my thinking, as a person born with Mercury retrograde, the Mercury retrograde seems smoother to me. Like, I'm almost used to the upsets and the weirdness that happens with a Mercury retrograde because I was born into it. The part that really gets to me is the pre-shadow and the post-shadow. Those two periods are where things go wonky for me. So I would say that in my, and I can only base this on my experience, and likely you could be your own authority here, Amanda, is that during the retrograde, unless it's in Gemini, which then all bets are off, everything seems to be just the same. I'm not noticing any huge, big differences, but in that time before and in that time just after, that's when cars break down. My computer crashed last summer during the time of the pre-retrograde. It was not fun, but the actual retrograde itself saw it smooth itself out and get fixed and, you know, whatever. So I hope that answers your question. J-Lo, our children always see it different. I just looked at my chart and it affects my moon and my in Libra, 1 degree. My nodes are North Node, Sag 1, and South Node, Gemini 1. My Uranus is Scorpio, 0 degrees. Right. So now the next step, now that you've noted that, J-Lo, and anybody else who's noted that, the next step is to then take a look at what houses those points are sitting in, because that's the area of your life that is calling up the need for attention, or where the focus is drawn to. So, And your MC is in Aquarius at 29 degrees. Yeah. Whoa. So I would say, just thinking about your chart, J-Lo, is that there's a lot of things that are in flux for you. And I know that you're a Taurus and you like to dig in and you're kind of wanting to stay where you are. Or holding, you know, tight, it might be time for you just to relax and let go and just allow the universe to, you know, bring to you what might fill those voids, or to just be in that void of things that are changing. Sue, to me, it's also smoother. I am Mercury retronatal. Yeah. And Amanda's noticed that too. Yep. Sue says mine is in Virgo and I really enjoy this time. J-Lo says, I'm here taking notes. Good for you. Oh, I love it. Take notes all you want. Okay, so let's move over to the Pleiadian Earth energy for the day, because I just love this idea of the spiral of consciousness. And I'm hoping that you guys are getting that, seeing the possibility of the spiral in your own life and how it's working out. And I have noticed that even when I'm not aware of what the day is or what the energy is, I'm moving into that spiral. Maybe because it's a choice I made, and even without my knowledge or my conscious awareness, I'm into it. So like, for example, last week when I was in Oregon, I did take my morning book here because I had the intention that I was at least going to write to you guys in the morning, but that just totally went out the window. And so I had my Pleiadian Earth calendar. I could have looked at it. I never did, but I tapped into that new beginning, that beginning point of the week. It was on the 9th of June, or was it the 11th? It was the 11th of June where we entered into, no, it was the 9th when we entered into the one of the next spiral of consciousness. And we talked about that yesterday, where it was one remembering. And the remembering energy, which is my own natal, remembering energy is my natal Pleiadian astrology. So maybe that's why I tapped into it so easily, is about, you know, reminding yourself about why you're here, of your purpose in being here. Even if you don't, I bet you, even if you don't know how to verbalize what it is you're here to do, on some level, you know what it is you're here to do. Because your experiences have pointed you in that direction, the recurring challenges that you've had in your life to tell you about that particular purpose in being here. So all we really need to do is, instead of embarking on a journey in the outer world to go find your purpose, instead, this week was reminding us that all we had to do was look inward to remember. Right? Remember your purpose. Remember the reason that you're here. Remember the truths, the capital T truths, right? Of what it is to be a human, to be divine inside of a human body. And today, then, we've reached the 10. So today is 10 intuiting. And of course, we're spiraling through, right? So we started at one remembering, but we spiraled through all of the different energies. Now we've reached the 10, where our intentions can become manifest. But your intentions becoming manifest are highly dependent on where have your thoughts been focused, right? So where are your thoughts focused? Where are your thoughts focused? As well as where is the emotional energy focused. So for example, if your thoughts are focused on something that you want to create, let's say you wanted to create a new business and you're putting your thoughts there, but that then your emotional energy is on fear about it, is on the, I don't know how that's going to work, or that's actually better than it's going to blow up in my face, or I'm going to lose a lot of money. So your emotional energy is one place and your thoughts are in another place. It creates a divergence in the intention setting or in the way the intention is going to manifest. So today with the 10, we begin to really see the effect of where our thoughts and emotions have been focused. If you're starting to see that what you wanted is happening and that things are moving in a direction that you desired, then you've been doing a pretty good job of keeping your thoughts in alignment with your emotional energy. However, if they're like this, running side by side, and you're not necessarily seeing what it is that you intended, then you know that you've got some more work to do to bring things into an alignment. So when we reach the 10 day in the cycle, we reach that point in time where we have to ask, where we need to change this one saying from seeing is believing to believing is seeing. Right? Because we often think that we're going to see it in the outer world first, and then we'll believe it's happening. But the universe works the opposite. When we believe it, when we live it and breathe it, then we begin to see it in the outer world. So the 10 day brings us to that physical manifestation in the outer world. It really is about where are your thoughts focused? Right? With the moon in Gemini, are your thoughts going to be focused on craziness or scattered thinking or any kind of, superficial sort of paying lip service to something? Or are you really going to go deep, right? Now, the Earth day today is intuiting. So it's 10 intuiting. 10 is the more universal energy. So all life forms, all planets in our solar system are working off that energy. today, the Earth-specific energy is intuiting. In the Mayan calendar, that was Kib, and Kib was sort of the representation sometimes of the skull, sometimes it was a vulture, but it was about seeing reality from a different point of view, sort of, you know, dying to an old reality and birthing to a new reality. So it was sort of a regenerative energy. So today we have a regenerative energy perhaps that we can utilize in determining what it is that is manifesting in our life. Where are we not being in our own best, where are we not acting in our own best interest? Where are we not being our own best friend? Sabotaging ourselves, so as it were, instead of really creating what it is we want, or who it is we want to be, or what it is we want to do. So I think also we have a tendency sometimes to give up on ourselves when seeing is believing. If that's your truth, then we give up the moment that we don't see what it is we expect to see. Where on the other hand, if your truth is believing is seeing, then you can always hold the belief in your heart and in your soul that this will happen. And it doesn't matter then how long it is until you see it, because you still believe it. Got it? All right. So, all right, let's go back over here, see what people say about that. J-Lo, OMG, yes. Okay, well, I got everybody quiet over that one. This is good, I suppose. All right. So if you have questions or comments, please feel free to post them there in the chat. If you are listening today, I would really appreciate it if you would give the video a thumbs up if you are enjoying what I'm saying, and to also subscribe if you've not done that yet. Below, there's a red subscribe button. Click on that. And if you click on the bell, you can also be notified when I get ready to come on live. And just one other thing to remind you all of is on Monday, I will come to you live, likely in the same way. I think from my point of view and your point of view, it's not going to be much different, but I will be broadcasting live through Oneness Talk Radio. And you can go to their website, onenesstalkradio.com, check out all the different people on their platform and listen to some of those shows, because I was just kind of listening here and there the other day. They are really fabulous people, and they really, you can really tell that they're trying to walk their talk and they're living their truths. And I just found that really heartening, right? To be associated with people that are of that kind of caliber. So I know you guys like that too. So check them out. And I think that's it for announcements. Let's talk about Mars in a sextile to Pluto. That is our main aspect for the day, besides the moon moving into the void. Mars, the warrior god, right? Conflict, confrontation, action, movement, protection. There are a lot of key words that we can use to describe Mars. And remember, Mars right now is in Pisces. Pisces is a water sign. Pisces is about the imagination and creative energy, spiritual energy, being inspirited. So Mars may be teaching us more about how to be a human, how to be a divine being in a human body. And now we look at Mars then in a sextile, which is a 60-degree relationship between the planet Mars and Pluto today. Sextiles are usually a pretty good indication that there are gifts and talents, that the energy of one planet serves the energy of the other planet, which, remember, these are just archetypal things, right? They're not necessarily planets that are actually with these characteristics, but they're archetypal energy. So we have the archetype of the masculine warrior on one hand, and then Pluto, the masculine, or the archetype of regeneration, death and rebirth. So the two of them in a sextile, which is a 60-degree relationship where they're equally, they're sharing pretty easily between each other. The gifts and the talents of one serve and help you know, get the other one's work out there while that one's work helps the other one. So this is energy that's working quite comfortably together, but it also speaks to maybe the ramping up of some of the more destructive and regenerative energies that Pluto has been bringing us over the last year and a half, maybe even longer. I would posit that from the moment Pluto moved into Capricorn back in 2008, the die was cast for this kind of major upheaval coming to us, in that, you know, Capricorn was going to end up being host to Saturn at the same time Pluto was there. Then we were going to have this year with the Jupiter-Pluto-Saturn conjunction with Pallas Athena, and Ceres was even in there at one point in time. So we've been in this for a while, but now doesn't it seem like, you know, these things are coming a little bit easier? It doesn't mean that we like them. It doesn't mean that we always agree with everybody, but the changes are becoming more and more visible. In my mind, maybe it's because I'm looking for it, I don't know. But I would say that Mars sextile Pluto gives us an easy in to the final deconstruction of whatever it is, so that we can be ready for regeneration, to build something new. Remember, later this month, 27th, I believe it is, of June, Mars moves into Aries, where he will spend an extended period of time due to his retrograde motion. So we should all really be keeping a smart eye out on what Mars is doing over these next few months, because he is going to end up in retrograde motion in Aries, squaring those planets in Capricorn. And a square, as you know, is challenging. So today, as we have a sextile, it's an ease, right? There's this, you know, easy flow of information here. There's an easy flow of taking actions that are regenerative by nature. And we should move forward with this fearlessly. There was an angel, I think it was actually a fairy card deck. And one of my very favorite cards in that was "Move Forward Fearlessly." And here we have it right here, right? We have the warrior built with this planet, or conjunct, or coming together with this planet Pluto, which to me always sort of celebrates endurance and perseverance. And we have this opportunity then to maybe endure through all of these crazy upsets and so forth, which, by the way, take us all the way through to 2022, and even, you know, mid 2022 before we're really clear of this craziness. So buckle your seatbelts. It's not over yet. But now we have maybe an ability to start putting some consciousness to it, to really direct where this regeneration is happening in our lives. Funny thing, this morning I was on another astrology website. Now I don't remember which one it was. I don't remember, but I was interested in what the person was saying. But what was more interesting to me was the comments below the blog post. And they were horrid. I was so shocked and so surprised by what the comments were, not in reaction to the person, to the astrologer, but to the content of these changes. It was very much about Trump. That was one thing she had mentioned in the blog post. And people were just all over it. It was terrible. I'm going, oh my gosh. But here we have this opportunity then to look at that and go, okay, we still have more work to do about healing this division, about healing this polarization, about allowing, you know, basically what I was seeing was these people were making comments that were really in judgment of the other side. And I'm not saying that people who like Trump are always judging these people who don't like Trump, but, or that these people that don't like Trump are always judging, you know, blah, blah, blah. What I'm saying is that we are still sometimes tapping into the continuation of that discord, Eris. And what we need to do is be more like Mars in a sextile with Pluto, is, you know, be a warrior for your cause, right? Be an activist for what you believe in. You know, use your dollars and your words in a way that really support what you love and who you are. But you don't have to use those as a way to judge or harass or belittle or get angry with other people. That's the thing that I'm still seeing. We just haven't outgrown that yet. So maybe Mars sextile Pluto gives us that opportunity to consciously outgrow that discord, that crazy, divisive, yeah, we have different opinions. Okay, celebrate that. It doesn't mean that just because you believe that, that I'm threatened. And I think that's where we go, is the fear that somehow you being different threatens me, like my livelihood or my happiness or my joy. And that is so not true, right? It's you're responsible for your own joy, for your own happiness, not what's going on in the outer world. So while Mars sextile Pluto can also bring an ease of confrontation and conflict to the surface, it can also represent the inroads that we can make when we choose to consciously connect with a different energy, with a regenerative energy, instead of continuing on that same destructive path. All right. Hopefully that makes sense to everybody. Let's see here. No other comments. I love it. J-Lo or Amanda says, my natal Mars is retrograde in Aries. Well, it might be a really good time for you then, Amanda, during this period of time. I'm not sure what degree it is. If you know what degree, I can tell you whether, you know, you're likely you are, because it's right like from 5 to 25 degrees or something like that of, oh goodness, I'll have to look that up, because it's right there in the middle of the sign of Aries that Mars is going to retrograde, and 15 to 25 maybe. And likely there are going to be some opportunities for you to see where you have not been, have not had healthy boundaries perhaps, or where you are holding yourself back and not doing what it is that you really want to do. But Mars and Aries, you know, that's the sign he rules. And a retrograde Mars sometimes has trouble getting things going. They become a little more passive aggressive. And maybe you'll have access to what is going on with you in that regards and make some movement. 25 degrees. Yeah, you're right in the thick of it there. That's about the degree that it might be 28 degrees that Mars retrogrades at. So right there, you're in it. So wherever that house is where you likely are going to have some big things going on, maybe even some conflict, some change that's pushed on you if you're not open to allowing it to happen. So you might want to check that out in your own personal chart. All right. I don't see any other questions. So that is it for me this morning. Even though that seems like a lot, I'm thinking I will reserve until tomorrow our chat about the new moon so that it's more fresh in our mind as we move into it for the weekend. We also this weekend have, is it tomorrow? No, it's on Saturday. We also have Mars coming into a sextile with Jupiter. So that would be a more optimistic, more open-minded connection than the Mars sextile Pluto today. But either way you look at it, these are positive changes that we can enact if we are conscious about what we are doing. The 12th house, the house of self-sabotage. Yikes, Amanda. So lots coming up for you. Maybe you could very much look at, where am I self-sabotaging? Where am I limiting myself? What fears or blocks are holding me back? Go that way. All right. That is it for me today, everybody. Take care. I will see you tomorrow morning, same time, same place. We'll try to get some readings in tomorrow.